Can everyone hear me?
Yeah, great. It's loud. I'd like to call to order the Public Engagement Commission meeting for Wednesday, October 18th, 2023 for the City of Goleta. Welcome, everyone. And the first thing we're doing is a Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready? Begin. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we do roll call, please?
Yes. Commissioners, please remember to speak into your mic when we do roll call. Commissioner Amoregi. Commissioner Klein-Rothschild.
Here.
Commissioner Uribe.
Present.
Commissioner Ibarra.
Present.
Commissioner Avila Ruiz.
Here.
Vice Chair Schneider.
Present.
And Chair Paz.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any public comment?
Looks like we have no public comments in person or online.
Thank you. No amendments or adjustments to the agenda. And now I'd like to take a moment to introduce our newest commissioner, our youth commissioner, Jessica Avila Ruiz. She's a senior at Dos Pueblos High School. Yay, Chargers, because I'm a former Charger. She has served on the Superintendent Student Advisory Council, for the Santa Barbara Unified School District. With Dr. Hilda Maldonado, and is also a student representative for her class, is on the varsity cheer program at DP. She's active in our Goleta community, has volunteered for the Goleta Boys and Girls Club, also a place that I visited quite a bit when I was young. Beautify Goleta and Beautify DP, all in support of her passion to promote clean environments. Jessica is bilingual in English and Spanish and wanted to serve as a youth commissioner to reflect the diversity and generosity of Goleta. She wants to encourage others to care for Goleta and to welcome all community members citywide to citywide events and programs. Do you have a few words? Would you like to say anything?
Sure. Okay. So I just want to say I'm very thankful for this opportunity, and I'm very excited to be able to work for the betterment of the citizens in Goleta, and I'm very excited to get to know you all.
Thank you. Welcome again. With that, first thing on the agenda is our consent calendar approval of the Public Engagement Commission meeting minutes of August 23rd, 2023. Anyone have a motion to approve?
I make a motion, we approve.
I second.
We have a first and second. And we do need roll call.
Okay, commissioners, please remember to speak into your mic and lock in your votes for the approval of the minutes. Commissioner Amoregi?
Approve.
Commissioner Klein-Rothschild?
Approve.
Commissioner Uribe?
Yes.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Yes.
Youth Commissioner Avila Ruiz?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Abstain.
And Chair Paz?
Yes.
Okay, once again, remember to lock in your votes on the pads, please.
Thank you. The next item is item B1, update on diversity, equity, inclusion. And this is Ms. Christy Schmidt. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair Paz, Commissioners. I'm Christy Schmidt. I'm the Assistant City Manager, and I have with here Rebecca Eggman, who is an HR analyst for the City of Goleta and also our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer. Mm-hmm. And in that role, assists me with our diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts citywide. Mm-hmm. And we are here today to give you an update. We talked to our staff in community relations, and they told us that you had an opening on your agenda, and we said, we'll take it. We want to give them an update. So we are here to give you an update on our DEI efforts and to talk about a coming effort that it will be coming up, which is our the creation of our DEI plan. So what we wanted to do first was to recap some of our recent diversity, equity, and inclusion activities. And I'm going to actually ask Ms. Eggemann to take that on, and we'll go through it. Hopefully you'll be impressed. We've done quite a bit already of the low-hanging fruit. And then we'll talk about a little bit about what is a DEI plan and the DEI plan process. And then talk a little bit about the involvement of the PEC, and then also ask you to give us some initial thoughts on a couple of questions that we have that our consultants have said. I told them I'd be speaking with you tonight, and they said, oh, ask them this. So we're going to be asking you a few questions. So I just wanted to draw your attention to the city's we have nine overarching strategies in the city's strategic plan that have been adopted by the city council. And one of those strategic strategies is to ensure equity and inclusion and access in city programs, services, and activities. And we say, you know, we appreciate and value the physical, social, and psychological differences between people and groups in our community. We endeavor to ensure that everyone in Goleta can reach their highest level of health and potential for a successful life, regardless of their background and identity, and experience a sense of belonging in our community. And then to that end, we will continually examine our policies and practices to seek new and innovative ways to engage and benefit the entire community and make changes in any government policies, structures, services, or culture that negatively impact or do not fully benefit historically disenfranchised communities. So that is has been adopted by the City Council as one of our nine sort of main city goals. So that is sort of where we start from diversity, equity, inclusion. And you'll remember that back in several years ago, we kicked off a new diversity, equity, and inclusion initiative in the city. We created a diversity, equity, and inclusion staff team, and the city council delegated to that staff team responsibility for developing a diversity, equity, and inclusion plan and starting to move that plan forward. And they also created an ad hoc committee to help us during the process and give us guidance as we needed it, so we have been doing that. And as part of that, we've been meeting monthly, and Rebecca will talk a little bit more about that, but we've been meeting monthly, and we've been starting to do different things citywide to try and think through, you know, how do we approach the community, and are there ways that we can reduce barriers or improve our engagement of the entire community? And so we'll go through some of those, and I'm going to turn it over now to Ms. Eggemann.
Hi. Thank you for having me and Christy. We am happy to talk about some of the things we've been doing over the past couple of years. You know, some of it has been more recent, some of it has been ongoing. As Christy mentioned, we have a DEI team that we meet monthly. It's comprised of staff from the different departments so that we have feedback and liaison throughout the whole city staff team. We've also provided DEI training, which includes training on implicit bias to all staff and city council. And this was back in 2021, and we're due for a new one. So we're working on, we're starting the process of getting another training planned for coming up in this fall is what we're aiming for. We have also included a ninth key initiative for the city's fiscal year 21-23 and 23-25 strategic plans to ensure equity, inclusion, and access in city program services and activities with related strategic goals and objectives. This is what Christy was talking about. We've also joined GARE, which is the Government Alliance on Race and Equity. And this is a nationwide membership organization that focuses on DEI issues. They have great resources. They have workshops. They have conferences. I'll be attending one, actually, a couple weeks from now, where people, practitioners in DEI area will come together and talk about really important topics. So that has been a really great resource to have for the city. And from the HR side of things, which is an area where I work as well, I'm one of my other hats, we have joined a service called diversityjobs.com. Their logo is connecting job seekers with employees who embrace diversity. What it is it aggregates our job postings and sends them out to different portal or different job search websites so that are traditionally underrepresented groups, so that we get the word out about our jobs in order to diversify our recruitment as much as we can through that tool. We've created a city DEI website, which you can find. That's the link to it. It's something I think I'd love to see. We're thinking about expanding it, and it's right now just one page with some demographic information, other information, but that's going to grow in the future. It's one of our plans. As I just mentioned, we have demographic information on there. We've got gender and race and age collected from our internal HR records. And then there's also links to the government census data that you can compare. You were doing actually pretty well represented in a lot of areas, which is a good thing. We have also created a citywide non-discrimination and harassment policy. This covers not only staff, but city council, advisory boards and commissions, interns and volunteers, and also all of our contractors, those who seek to do business with our city. So we've expanded beyond just staff, and we want to encompass everybody that is connected with the city through these types of relationships. Our contracting and purchasing templates now have a non-discrimination and DEI requirements in them. They hadn't before, and now it's us sending a message to the people we work with about how important DEI is to our community and our city. We have included new qualifications for all board and commission members relating to their commitment, you know, expressing commitment to DEI values. It must demonstrate respect for the diversity of the Gleadec community and be committed to ensuring equity, inclusion, and access for all residents and visitors in the provision of government services. We have created a diversity calendar of cultural observances, and we wanted to be able to integrate that. It's on our DEI website. There's a link to it. And we've also integrated that into announcements at council meetings. And there's also an article in the Monarch Press that will talk about what's being recognized that month in terms of, you know, like June 13th or, you know, different Juneteenth, sorry, and different important dates. We have also increased Marcos Martinez, the Spanish engagement specialist. He's full-time now. He does a wonderful job. We've launched a Spanish language city website, Galita en Español. We've improved disability and language accessibility features on our Refresh website. There's a place you can go, and it can get translated into different languages, which I love. I was really excited to see that one. We also, through Francie, our front desk reception, you may have met her before, through her feedback, we worked on this. We installed a kiosk at the City Hall reception for immediate multilingual customer service via teleconference. We have these translators on staff, and instead of calling them kind of, you know, pre-COVID days and people are in the office, now they're remote, so we're able to get somebody quick. It's face-to-face, so you have that, you know, interaction, the non-verbal cues. So that was a wonderful addition that we've done. We also held the first LEAD Goleta Academy with simultaneous Spanish language interpretation, which I don't know, I saw the video of that and I was like, fantastic. So that was really exciting things. Great job. We've also began the Cafe Comunidad, coffee and community events in city districts with a focus on outreach and inclusion for Spanish speakers. More, thank you. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful work. I'm the DEI officer. I attend quarterly diversity, inclusion, belonging, and equity roundtable discussions with DEI leaders throughout the county. It's held, the county puts those on, and so we meet and we share, we exchange ideas and work on issues. City leadership and staff attended regular county DEI symposiums. These were recently in 2023, spring, but also last year as well, spring and fall. And some brand new things, we have facilitated a grant low-income and underserved communities broadband access. That's a very recent one. And finally, another recent one, I think, was it yesterday? Last night, we approved parental pay policies for our staff. Oh, parental leave.
When we met with our diversity, and we'll talk about equity praxis in just a little bit, but they said, you know, you really should be talking about that as an equity issue. And I said, you know, it did start as an equity issue. You know, we were sitting across the table from birthing parents, and they were worried about how they were going to pay for things when their pay and their benefits ran out, and how they were going to get through, you know, their pregnancy and then parental bonding time. And I thought, come on, that's not fair that they have to get rid of all their sick leave doing this. And so it started as that, and it's a really great, it'll provide supplemental pay to employees who are pregnant for 10 weeks to supplement their state disability insurance so that they'll have full pay for at least 10 weeks and without having to use up their sick leave banks. And it'll provide another 6 weeks for all parents, whether they're birthing parents or fathers or parents by adoption or even by foster placement, another additional 6 weeks of full pay in order to bond with a new child in their family. So those are two new things. We don't know anybody else locally who's doing that. There are some other cities up north, but we're, I think, the first city locally to take that on. So that was as of last night. So we did just want to go over some of those because we, you know, although we've been going through an RFP process to select a consultant and we've been, you know, doing the evaluation and then the contracting project, we haven't, you know, just let things sit. We've been actually, as things have come up, as opportunities have come up for us to engage in diversity and equity and inclusion issues regionally and to actually start picking off some of the low-hanging fruit, things that we can do better as a city, we've been taking those opportunities. So now we are ready to do the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Plan. And what that'll be is basically a strategic plan where we identify things that we can do better, policies that need to change, and activities that we could be doing, barriers that we could be removing citywide, both, you know, for our organization and with our staff, but also in the way that we interact with the community. And so that's the idea, is to come up with a plan, including specific goals and objectives that we can actually show progress toward, toward making, achieving change. So that we are, again, the staff DEI team, people from every, staff from every department are in the lead on this. We will be assisted by our consultants who we've chosen. They are Equity Praxis. They have a great deal of experience both locally and nationally in assisting organizations to do DEI analyses and implement plans for change. So we're really excited to have them with us. And so the City Council has also appointed an ad hoc committee to assist us, particularly bringing the policymaker point of view to, and as representatives, as policymakers who are out there in the community talking to people, to bring that policymaker point of view, things they might be hearing at some of their conferences statewide. You know, there's a lot that they can bring to the table as well. So we have, that is Councilmember Kiriako and Councilmember Reyes Martin, who are in the lead on that and for assistance for us. And then there are several stages of the project. One is to conduct an organizational analysis. So part of that will be Equity Praxis looking at GARE and other examples of best practices in cities, in what are other cities, what are the best practices out there, and letting us know what those are and where we can make improvements to meet those best practices. It will also involve doing a survey of our staff, both to ask them how are we doing organizationally on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and how are we as an employer? Are we creating a sense of belonging for all of our employees? But also as people who are directly providing services to the public, particularly the library. I mean, they're interacting with people all day. You know, what are their impressions of how we're doing as a service agency in meeting the needs of the public, and are there barriers that they can identify that we may not be aware of? So a staff survey as far as that. They'll also be interviewing all of our city council members because they are also here out in the community and hearing from people, and our executive team who run the departments to kind of get their impressions on how they think they're doing. So they're going to talk a lot to people within the organization. There's an effort to strengthen our staff expertise, so they will be working. They'll be attending on all of our meetings with our DEI team for a number of months and helping us to build as ambassadors of diversity, equity, inclusion for the organization. But they'll also be doing training. And, you know, as Ms. Eggman mentioned, we did about a year and a half ago, we did a citywide diversity, equity, inclusion training. And that was sort of just helping us to all become familiar with the ideas of implicit bias. It was implicit bias training focused on and the principles of equity. But this one will go even a little further. So we're anticipating that it'll be for everyone at least a half day training, maybe even a full day training, and then certainly more for some of our internal stakeholders. So definitely straining our staff expertise, because we're the ones who have to implement and first of all, recognize where we may have issues and then implement change. And then we're going to assess the community landscape. And part of that will be to hold listening sessions with the community and ask how we're doing. And so we're still designing that part of it. And part of what we're going to talk to you today is kind of your ideas around that. But actually asking the community, how do you think we're doing, and are there places we can improve? Certainly, even this group has given us over the since I've been here great ideas on ways that we can improve in equity and inclusion, and then preparing the plan. So Equity Praxis will put together a plan. They'll give us sort of a draft that we will. Then talk to, you know, internally to folks. And then once it's finalized, we'll take it to the City Council. So That's our plan. And so the Public Engagement Commission, you know, you guys have a specific roles that are diversity, equity, and inclusion related. Some of the things, and this is directly from the charge that has been given to you by the City Council, is how to ensure equitable communication and outreach. Communication and outreach in general, but also specifically equitable communication and outreach. How to ensure that all residents are invited to engage with the city government and comfortable doing so. So not only get the invitation, but actually feel comfortable accepting that invitation. Including Spanish speakers and historically underrepresented groups, and how to ensure that a diversity of perspectives, geographically, demographically, linguistically, et cetera, are invited to be considered in public decision-making. So those are all very clearly equity-related charges that you've been given. So we wanted to start off the process, and we will likely come and update you several times during the process and ask feedback at different places where we think that it'll be helpful. But at least at the start of this process, we wanted to reach out to you and get your initial thoughts on diversity and creating a diversity, equity, inclusion plan, and how to engage the community to participate in community listening sessions and just in general, and specifically, the Equity Praxis staff today, they wanted to be here today. They couldn't make it in their calendars, but they will be watching this video later on. You know, who should we hear from? So what are the groups that you think that are out there that we need to be talking to if what we want to do is become a more equitable organization and ensure that we're inviting everybody to the table and that we're hearing everyone's voice? You know, who are some of those groups that you think that we could be reaching out to for that? Including those five formal listening sessions. You know, we'll likely have a combination of just some general listening sessions where doors open wide, anybody come, and maybe even some listening sessions for specific groups. So, you know, if you have any ideas about, oh, you need to have a specific session that's just LGBTQ+, or just the Latinx community, or, you know, so, you know, just, so if you have ideas like that, let us know, thoughts. And then incentives and ideas for how we can encourage people to participate. So we'll be putting something out saying, hey, you know, we're going to be doing this. How can we, you know, make people go, oh, yeah, that's something I want to participate in. If you have ideas about that, that would be great. And then if you have ideas about specific organizations or community leaders that we should, you know, like we did with the when we did the districting process, you gave us ideas of people to call, make sure that they were, you know, we were sending our notices to them and that they knew when the meetings were happening. If you have ideas about specific organizations or community leaders that you'd like to see us involve in the process and make sure that they know this is happening, let us know. So with that, I'm just going to, that's the end of our presentation, and we'd love your feedback.
So I have Commissioner Beth Schneider, followed by Commissioner Klein Rothschild. So if you want to speak to this item, please put yourself in the queue, please.
I put my name up many slides back.
Okay. I can go back to slides if you'd like.
No, you don't need to go back to the slides. I read this before I came over, and I was interested in the extent to which you feel that the working group at this point has clarity about what you really mean by diversity, like who's in and who's out, because I would just simply want to know that. I mean, I've been to enough events to identify people who aren't there, but the question of whether they should be there, I mean, I'm in some ways I'm identifying high school kids on the one hand, I'm identifying sort of Asian surnamed people on the other hand, and I'm identifying mothers with small kids on the third hand, people who might nearly show up for a school event and be much more concerned about school activity than they might be about whatever the government here is doing. So I just have that as a question in terms of the clarity of purpose of DEI generally. And then I have an actually specific question, and I don't know quite how to ask this except to just be straightforward. Who is Equity Praxis anyway? And have you all vetted this organization enough to feel like they know what they're doing and they are doing DEI sufficiently with their own organization, which I hope is true. But that's two questions. And then finally, congratulations on the family pay policy. That's a big success and clearly a missing piece of this. For me, I think I've named some of the people who may or may not, and again, depends on what we're really talking about, feel in or out. And I guess I'll start with the most obvious one that's missing. When we say age, I think we mean young people, and I think we mean old people. And at least in my experience with Goleta, there are many people who are over the age of 50 who are very busy in Goleta, on boards and commissions and doing a lot of work. In terms of the younger people, I think that's an interesting question about what they should be doing with their time and where they might be included or not. And then two other things I want to say. One is, having been in the room at that meeting in which there was a lot of serious controversy about the pride flag, I think that there is some sort of discussion that the group, the DEI group, ought to take seriously about who's in and who's out and how to think about doing something that's LGBTQ specific, either in terms of inclusion of staff and hiring or just generally educating enough people who work for the city so that in certain instances it doesn't look like the city council has been left to their own devices, or you know, the city feels more strongly behind it. Okay, so I think I'll stick with those two and then walk away and let everybody else have a chance, because everybody else is on the list, I can see.
Thank you for the input, and certainly young people and age is certainly a aspect of diversity that's very important. Our definition of diversity is very inclusive. So it could be economic diversity. It could be, you know, certainly racial, gender, LGBTQ, the things that, you know, you think about right up front, but also, all sorts of different things that make people different or make their experience in our community different, and make sure that we are not focusing in on so much on one set of our community that there is another set of the community that is not benefiting, whatever that dimension is. So I think that's the idea is not listening to just one voice to the exclusion of all others or any others. You know, how does everybody have a voice? And then as far as Equity Praxis, so Equity Praxis is Jared Schwartz, who has been involved locally. It includes Katja Armistead, who is at UCSB. She's and she's winning an award from LEAP this year. And it includes Renee Castro, who's our project manager. So these are all people who have local reputations and local experience and significant experience in the topics of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So we did do a request for proposals process. We had 11 folks apply. Some of them, were really focused on bigger employers and really just the employment side of things. And whereas we wanted to look at not just the employment, certainly that's an important part of it, but how we touch the community as well to make sure that we're doing that in an equitable way as well. So we wanted a broader sort of definition of this process. So that it was easy to kind of go, okay, well, these people get it, right? And then we chose from there three firms, three? Two. Okay, we got it down to two to interview. And we did interviews with the, we scored the, like we do at the city, we scored the app, the proposals, and we came up with two that we'd like to interview. We interviewed the two after, you know, during the summer, trying to get people to, trying to book people's schedules. But we interviewed the two, and we, and by far, Equity Praxis, you know, felt like the fit for us for Goleta. So that's how we chose them, and why we, and we really do think that they bring the level of expertise and understanding of what we are looking for that we need.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know that.
Ms. Klein Rothschild.
Thank you. It's exciting to hear about this because we all want everyone to feel a sense of belonging. Mm. My one suggestion is that you're talking about five community listening sessions. I think people who don't feel a sense of belonging and or people who work multiple jobs and or people who have multiple demands would not necessarily go to a community listening session, but would have a lot to contribute. And I recommend you consider something like a survey in English and Spanish or something where people can contribute without coming to a session, where it's a very public presentation, where there are, it takes time and may not fit in their schedule. But those people who are not connected, we want to hear from them also. So suggestion.
Thank you. Ms. Uribe.
Well, this is very exciting for me to hear. And I have suggestions and I have questions. So I'll start with the questions. One of the the first question is, when I see all the values, the physical, the social, the psychological, I don't see the cultural values, which I think are crucial and very important, because the rest of the things can be for one individual, but the culture puts people together, you know? So I think that should be included too. Another thing that I have a question about is about the kiosk in different languages. That really made my antennas go. so tell me about that. So who, I didn't understand exactly how is it gonna be staffed. So if you can explain that a little bit better.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So we have the front desk area, and you know, just people from the community come in. On staff, we have a bilingual staff members who there's an exam you can take to qualify for it, and you get a stipend if you're qualified. The majority of them are Spanish speakers, but we do have a Mandarin speaker as well. Before the kiosk, and actually even before COVID, when we had people come in, you know, in person, we would have somebody in the building who could, you know, our front desk person, Francie, would call, and they could come down and translate. That's got a lot more difficult now that we're working remote. In terms of troubleshooting that, there's a kiosk, it's a computer kiosk, and it has a camera on it, microphone, headphones, and we have it's Microsoft Teams. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It's like a little chat, you know, video chatting. So if somebody comes in and they're limited English speaking, and let's say they're Spanish speaking, Francie can go down the list of our and see who's available. If they're in the building, great. But if they're not, they can she can call them, and then they're connected face to face. And yeah, like I said, sometimes that's better than the phone because body language is sometimes part of the
sure.
You know, so that's how it works. And you know, we got that set up a few months ago, and so we've got that working.
Nice. So it will be English and English. No. Spanish and Mandarin.
Yes.
At
this point.
Okay. Thank you. I also wanted to thank you and the whole city for doing the parenting paid thing, because that's so important and crucial, especially in these times that the financial stuff is kind of, oh my God, what am I going to do, right? So that helps a lot. Thank you for thinking about doing that. Now, about the listening sessions. I agree with you in the fact that people who are not connected, they're not going to go to any of these meetings. So my suggestion for that would be to just have a kiosk. And I have suggested this for different things. But just, for example, every Sunday at the farmer's market, have a table, have a person there, and that person or two can invite in different languages people to come and say, hey, can I ask your opinion? Can I, you know, about things? And if they know that it's always there, that's something inviting in and of itself, you know? It's like, oh, I know that the city is going to be there, and I know they're asking questions, and I have not answered anything. But, you know, this bothers me, so I'm going to go because we're there. I think that that would be a good thing. And maybe in organizations going to have that same table, I don't know how frequently or when, but with the organizations, Girls Inc., Communify, all of those that people are there already, and probably they will mind much less to have this type of conversation, even whether they are or they're not engaged with city government. As far as the groups that need to be included in all of this, I think that since the beginning we've been missing Asians. There's a big, big Asian community in Goleta, everywhere. So I'm not sure about who may be a leader or if there is a leader, but I'm sure that among all of us and you guys can try to find out and at least offer something for them, you know, that might be attractive and interesting.
Thank you, Commissioner Ribe. We have recently identified a contact that we have who is interested in assisting us with our relationship with the Asian community. And so that's something we've recently, so we're hopeful that that's gonna really improve, you know, and provide us with some ideas of ways to meet the needs of that community. So thank you.
Absolutely.
That's great feedback.
Thank you.
And it's more than 10, maybe. It might even be 13% of our population is Asian, identifies as Asian in the census. And so, you know, we know that is a big group of our community. So, yeah.
Ms. Suribata.
Thank you, Chair Paz. I do want to start off by expressing my joy for the parental pay policy. I have to say it, I'm very proud of that. And I'm overjoyed. Commissioner Schneider asked some of the questions that I wanted to ask. I'm going to go ahead and move towards the other question that I need, that I know have to be asked. One of them is, what are the groups that have been the underserved groups that you could identify now that need our attention? Second, going on with the suggestion about the underserved individuals, underserved populations that because of work or because of time constraints, so they're taking care of relatives or caregivers, how can we reach them? If we do a survey, are we going to do one or two surveys in a row with some time apart so that we can truly gauge the response? I think what happens sometimes when surveys are sent out, one survey is done, and then the results are skewed in that direction because individuals didn't know that the surveys were there. They didn't know the importance of the survey, so I think doing follow-up surveys, even two or three surveys in a row to see if the attention that needs to be into certain groups, underserved groups, can be focused on. And then one of the things that I do like at the community functions, for example, the Lemon Festival, the 16th of September, I always see a City of Goleta table. I've seen a Marcos there. I've seen other county employees there. I see members of the city council there. So that makes me feel good. So that's the type of approach we should continue to do. And I'm just happy that we live in a progressive city, the City of Goleta. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Amoroji.
Well, I'm really thrilled.
Yeah. Forgot. I'm thrilled at your presentation and the effort that is, in fact, I love the city, and you are a great example of it. I looked through this, and I'm really, really proud of what our city is doing. Suggestions, I think there are some hidden groups that maybe I'm not quite sure how we can reach them. There are, in terms of youth and sports, because the parents are not able to afford how much to join the various baseball groups. And I don't know how we can, I mean, maybe that would take some interaction with the parents during maybe weekends. I don't know how you could, you know, how it can be addressed, but there are mixed kids of mixed races that don't quite feel they belong here or there, and they are kind of like hidden. And I'm not sure that, I think that's, so they, I see them every day and try to talk to them. And hopefully your staff, you know, will have better ideas than I currently have on how to include them. But that's what I have right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Avila-Ruiz.
So I thought what you guys said was really great. Also, I have a few things to say, but Commissioner Uribe, I really liked what you said about having a table out at the farmer's market, like doing stuff like that, really directly going towards citizens, especially if they've never participated. They might feel kind of nervous, so maybe like directly going towards them, and like they might need a little bit of that push. So I really like that idea. Also, someone, I've never heard of DEI, but is it a nonprofit organization, or can you give me like a little bit more detail, please?
Certainly, it's DEI just means diversity, equity, and inclusion, and it is respecting the diversity. So it's just a principle. It's not a specific nonprofit. It's just a way of interacting with the world, which is respecting diversity, trying to ensure equity, which is not necessarily equality, right? It's sometimes people need different things to reach the same level. And so it's kind of identifying where, you know, you may have, you know, taking away a barrier might provide, you know, an equitable opportunity for a group, providing an additional support in some area, Spanish language translation, right? Mm-hmm. That's not equal because we're not, you know, but it's something we can do that increases equity, which is everybody being able to participate at the same level. And then inclusion is making sure that people are invited to the table, that everyone's invited to the table, and that we're not just listening to certain voices, and we're not just including certain people when we ask people to come and engage with us, but that we're making sure that we're listening for all the voices, and that we're asking everyone to participate. And then the other one is access, and access focuses, you know, there's a lot of ways to define access broadly, but when we think of access a lot, we're thinking about people with disabilities who may have challenges to participating in the ways that we offer to participation, and can we make accommodations that will allow them to participate more fully in our city and in our community. So it's just, it's principles, it's a way of interacting with the world, and I would let any of our esteemed commissioners who want to add to that jump in, but that's what we're thinking about when we talk about DEI.
Interesting. I also really liked what you guys had mentioned about the training. I think it's important that you guys have staff not only with diverse minds, but that your staff is a diverse, you know, bunch. So, you know, that people can see themselves through the staff. I think that's important. You guys said you wanted to mention, wanted to include more youth. Have you ever considered, like, directly going to a school? Because, like one of the commissioners mentioned, many people might consider themselves of multiple communities, whether it be LGBTQ or race. So it's kind of hard to put themselves in one community, like one organization. And I really think that schools, it's a diverse center for all students as well as youth. So have you ever considered going directly to high schools? I know my school has DP News, and I'm sure they'll let you promote other stuff.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great idea. We're going to add that to our list. And then, you know, some of the feedback that I've been hearing is, it's interesting, is, you know, you can hold five meetings, but not, people aren't going to, who don't feel invited, you know, aren't going to necessarily show up to those meetings, and that you need to go out to the farmer's market, go where they are, in a place where they're comfortable, and they don't have to show up to a government meeting, and get feedback, and or have a survey of some sort out there, and kind of a different way of interacting. Are there ideas about, you know, how do we make showing up at a government meeting more interesting and more open and welcome?
Hold on. Okay. I haven't had an opportunity
I'm sorry.
To speak. So I had a couple of quick comments. One was around diversity, equity, inclusion. I always add access, because access is important. And when we talk about language, it's language access. And then, you know, one of the main themes for the commissioners to remember that we had as a charge was around access to this meeting and city council meetings. And we talked about it in terms of time. And so time is part of that access equation as well. It's not just language. Mm-hmm. It's also physical access. It's time access. So I would encourage you all to think about that as well. To my fellow commissioners, for the organization I work for, we have also contracted with Equity Praxis. So we're also engaged in DEIA work with them. And that made me think that perhaps not just talking to specific groups that you would define under diversity, but also thinking about engaging a variety of different nonprofits who are engaged in DEIA work and getting ideas from them. Because one of the things that my former workplace sort of opened my eyes to is that there are a lot of nonprofits who actually are working around DEIA issues. And they're looking for funding, they're looking for opportunities, but most of all, they want ideas. And so I think if you were to engage them, you could also benefit from those ideas as well. And then as far as other ideas in terms of going out to the community, it might be good to actually start off with a smaller group of folks to get some other ideas of where that sort of you can grow and get other ideas in terms of who to go out after as well, rather than starting off with a large group and then give me your ideas, right? It might be better just to start off with a few small ones. So I know we have a couple other commissioners who have some other thoughts, and then we'll come back to the question you had. Commissioner Schneider, followed by Commissioner Uribe.
Well, let me go on record as saying I actually know those people from Equity Praxis. I had no idea they were doing this work. And so I'm comforted by knowing they're already local people, and I know something about their work. So that gives me a lot of trust in the potential process. Two things I wanted to say. One, okay, so I went just as a regular resident of District 1 to the meeting that my city councilor had at the library on a Saturday morning. And there were probably 55 people there. So there was no lack of people there. There was no way that somebody with two kids was coming to that. I mean, there were people going in and out of the library, but there was no way in spite of the fact that there was Spanish translation. So this is one of those time things. I mean, I sometimes want to say it's hardly possible for anybody with two kids to go to any of these sorts of things. So, but what strikes me, and I know this is a complicated political matter, is that some of the places where people with two kids are around the schools. Now, this would require some really complicated work with the Goleta school system and the Santa Barbara Unified School System to actually work there or be present there or something. I can't even quite envision it because it feels like partly an intrusive process and a difficult one given school days and so on. But it does strike me that a certain number of the citizens of Goleta have children in school, K through 12. And so there's some way those people might actually be interested but don't have a moment. And this goes to the sports question and the finances on sports and also in terms of participation. So just a thought in thinking about, is there something that doesn't get you into a discussion about which you have no responsibility at all about what's going on in the schools, but is there a way to get people involved? And then lastly, I just want to say about this whole question of Asian communities that I think that whoever is helping you will almost immediately say that we have multiple Asian communities.
Sure.
Because there is certainly a Vietnamese community, and there's certainly a Chinese community, and there's certainly a Japanese community. And I think the question is going to actually be interesting. Are the people we're talking about actually Goleta residents? Do they see themselves as Goleta residents? Are they UCSB affiliated? There's a whole bunch of complicated things with a wide range of educational backgrounds and ownership and so on. So I think that that's going to be work. You know, that's going to be complicated work. But there might be some simple solutions that I don't know about. But just to say, in terms of diversity within a community, I think we've had enough talks to know what the diversity is amongst Spanish speakers and the Latinx community. But this is a whole other thing that goes to culture and goes to language and so on. I'm done.
Thank you. Ms. Uribe.
Yeah, that's very true. I agree with you. But I think that it's like everything else. You need to start building trust. And how do you build trust? It's just by being available. There's nothing else you can do. I mean, you can be available. You can start places where people see you consistently. And not one time and, okay, you have five times to approach me, and if you don't, you don't, no? But just more consistently. So I guess it's the same. You have people approaching you little by little, and they will talk to others, and, you know, I think that we do as much as we can, and that will be good in the beginning, and then they will come. So I think that's it. I differ a little bit with the opinions that a survey would be it, the way, because I know that many communities and people in general is like, what is this paper? Oh, a survey. And they really do not take the time just because they don't have the time or they're not interested or it's not their language, whatever it is, so they're not interested. So that's a good way to combine things, maybe, but we should not expect a lot of results. In my experience, I have never had too much success with surveys and things like that for the Latino community specifically, and I think other communities might have the same issue.
Mr. Ibarra.
I'll be brief. I have a question and then a comment with the question. Have the Anybody from the city of Goleta, especially with this process here, try to do outreach to the parent-teacher groups, parent-teacher association, because going into outreach, talking to that sector that might not, because of having to take care of kids, having to go to their work, childcare, I think that would be a good place to do outreach to with this. And then, because I believe that at the parent-teacher group, the parent-teacher associations, they're in tune with what happens in the community. They usually know a lot of what's going on in the community. So I believe that that would be a worthwhile opportunity to approach some of these groups and just explain to them what it is we are doing and how their input is important. So I'm just suggesting that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Klein-Rothschild.
Yes, you ask how we can get people to the listening sessions. And I'd like to turn that on its head a little bit and say, why don't we go to where they are? So what if we go to some businesses in Goleta where people are working? Say, can we have half an hour at your lunchtime? And we talk to them at their space, on their time, in a way that's comfortable. I found after working in many government agencies, city, county, state, and federal level, you have to be pretty motivated to go to a government meeting. There's structure, there's downtime, we got agendas, we got this. I want to come tell you my thoughts and get out of there. But if we go to them on their territory and we listen to them, I think you'll have great opportunities. I think we have really good businesses in Goleta that would invite you in. So it's just a suggestion.
Thank you, everyone, for your comments and thoughts.
Excellent.
I know
feedback.
You had a question. Did we answer your last question?
Yeah, I think you have. You know, I've heard some great feedback, and you know, a lot of there was a mm-hmm. suggestion about engaging partners, trust, and one of the things that Equity Praxis said today when we met with them was, you know, you can you have partners who already have a lot of trust in the community. You and like you were talking about, maybe there are places people already are. There are people going to these to places where these partners are, you know, that maybe we need to go there. So a lot, you're giving us great ideas, and you know, Equity Praxis has a ton of experience and expertise in this area. We've just started working with them. So as far as what outreach have we done so far? None. We're starting with you. Yeah. So, and then we're going to keep building on that, and you know, of course, talk to our very talented community relations staff, Equity Praxis, our DEI group, you, and bring all of those great heads together to try to make this a very successful effort, I'm hoping.
Great.
So thank you so much for your feedback.
Thank you both.
That moves us to item C1, selection of meeting dates for 2024 calendar year. Ms. Hoover. Wait a few minutes.
Oops. Good evening, Chair Paz, commissioners, and those who are joining us tonight from home. We are excited to look at 2024. And look at when we will be meeting as a group. So we will be meeting four times, and we have some dates set that we want to run past you. All of them are Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock p.m., which is consistent with our current schedule. We can, of course, meet more if needed, and if we don't have any items to discuss, we can meet less, but we are... have four dates on the calendar. Our proposed dates are February 21st, May 15th, September 4th, and November 20th.
Sound good to me. I don't think, do we have consensus?
Yeah. Yes, would you like a motion, Chair Paz?
Yes.
I move to approve the proposed dates for the meeting in 2024.
Have a second.
Oh.
I think I heard Ms. Uribe second first.
Yes.
So we have a motion and a second. We need a roll call.
Thank you, Chair Paz. Commissioners, please remember to speak into your mic and lock in your votes. Commissioner Almaregi?
Yes.
Commissioner Klein Rothschild?
Yes.
Commissioner Uribe?
Yes.
Commissioner Avila Ruiz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
And Chair Paz?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And that moves us to item D, Director's Report.
We have several announcements for the Director's Report. And the first one is that we are pleased to announce that Lead Goleta is returning in January. We will begin accepting applications soon. November 1st, actually, we're going to open up the application period. This is a six-week academy that is bilingual. It will be from January 11th through February 15th, every Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. This is our fourth Lead Goleta Academy and the second one to be offered in both English and Spanish. There is limited space available, about 30 spots, and it does fill up quickly. If you know of anyone you think who would be interested and a good candidate who would really appreciate this academy, please let them know about it. And when we put out the announcement that we're accepting applications, if you could just help us spread the word, that would be great. The next announcement is we know how much you all appreciate hearing about great community engagement, and we definitely had that at the Lemon Festival this year, the 30th anniversary. We had a city booth area. It was nonstop for 2 days with people visiting. There was never a moment where we didn't have a line. So it was very exciting. It was wonderful to connect with the community in this way. And in case you have not seen it, we wanted to show you just a super short little recap video of with pictures and some video clips. I think you can tell we had a really good time. And the beach balls were a hit. So really, really just great to have such great community engagement and just see and meet so many people in a fun atmosphere where you're not really trying to learn anything, just really just get to know each other and smile and laugh and have fun. So that was wonderful. Another great event that we recently had was the Mexican Independence Day Festival in Old Town Goleta on September 15th. That was put on by the Greater Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. They did an incredible job. Also busy, lots of great community engagement. We had a recent Café y Comunidad at Elwood School, also a solid turnout, and we are hoping to have another one in February, so stay tuned for when and where. Also, in terms of your calendar, mark your calendar for December the 2nd, which is the return of the Goleta Holiday Parade in Old Town. The parade organizers are looking for entries and also for volunteers and some sponsors. So get involved with the Goleta Holiday Parade. It's going to be great this year. And we appreciate everyone's participation. So that's the end of the announcements. I do want to look ahead at the December 20th meeting, which is our next meeting, and consider canceling it because it is really close to the holiday and we don't have anything that we have to bring to you unless there's obviously something that you all would like us to discuss, which we can do.
Any comment?
Motion or?
A motion to cancel?
Yes, I have a motion.
Yeah, if you'd like to make a motion and be formal, yeah, go for
motion
it.
Motion ready.
Yeah, there's a motion and a second to cancel. Yeah. Do we need a roll call? Might as well.
Commissioners, please remember to speak into your mic and lock in your vote. Commissioner Almaraghi?
Yes.
Commissioner Klein Rothschild?
Yes.
Commissioner Uribe?
Yes.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Yes.
Commissioner Avila Ruiz?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
And Chair Paz?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Any future agenda items not for December 20th? Hearing none, I think we're ready to adjourn for today. So
I just want to say something, if I may. Congratulations on that Lemon Festival. That was amazing, amazing. And I would like to ask, so every year has been increasingly better, right? So people learn more about it. But this year, something happened. I don't know what, but it became like it blew out, basically. So what was different with that?
Commissioner Uribe, thank you for your comment. We agreed. It's always busy, but this year seemed especially popular, the city booth area. Mm-hmm. And maybe the success of that is we had really great giveaways. We tried to find things that people would use. So kind of everyone walked away as a winner. You spun the wheel makes a lot of noise, the spinning wheel, so it gets people's attention. And then they're going to walk away with a live, work, play notepad or a pen, something they can actually use, a beach ball, a frisbee. So it just made people happy. I think they saw that we were giving out things that were useful and everybody kind of walked away a winner. Also, we had people doing things fun, like doing not push-ups, actually. That would really be tough.
Sit-ups.
But they had, we did have people doing squats, different exercises. They had to do, 10 squats or jumping jacks. They had to hit the ball in the air 10 times. So it also generated attention from people who saw, hey, what people are laughing over there and they're bouncing a ball in the air and there's this wheel spinning and people are walking away with something that is useful and fun. And so I think that contributed to the success. We also had the Goleta Valley Library right next to us too, and they signed 80 plus people up for new library cards, and they were busy the whole time. Nice. And we also had our sustainability team next to us also, and they were handing out the free usable plastic-free Goleta utensils, and people were very excited to get those and to learn about sustainability. So that, I think all of it together was just made it very, very popular, and we didn't have one time where there was not a line.
Yeah.
So
no, it was actually wonderful, and also it was wonderful the fact that there were tables now for people to eat, like they were covered. Music was right there in front of the tables. I mean, it was everything. Everything was wonderful, and people were. I mean, I had trouble walking because of the amount of people that were at the festival. You know, it was like, oh, okay, you pass, I pass. So it was really, really nice to see that many people enjoying it. Our booth being so popular, everything was great. Thank you.
Thank you. And kudos to the South Coast Chamber of Commerce. They did an incredible job planning and executing this event.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ibarra, did you have a comment?
Just a quick comment. Just a quick comment. And thank you to staff for all the time and effort you put into doing the outreach, making the presentations, and I just want to say for my part, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Amoraji.
I want to add my thank you to that also. And the festival especially was perfect timing because after the pandemic, people get more relaxed, and you have so many activities going on. It was fabulous. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. With that, I think we're adjourned. Thank you so much, everyone. We'll see you in the new year.
Good evening.
Thank you.
I have no will you made you kill, 'cause you took advantage of me.